Ladies and gentlemen, this is Das Hobby, Germany's number one trading card show. And here are your hosts with the perfect podcast faces, Marcus and Dennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we go again. Another wonderful Das Hobby episode for you guys. And of course, I'm going to introduce the lovely Marcus first. How are you, sir?
Good. And as you know, it's not my native language that we talk today. But I try my best again to speak my best English today. I'm very good here. We had the first birthday from our baby yesterday. So mm-hmm. We had a good weekend. But now I'm looking forward to talk about our wonderful hobby with you and our guest today.
Marcus, that sounds good. Your daughter's first birthday. So what does a one-year-old, what kind of wishes does a one-year-old have? Is it trading cards already?
Actually, not really. Well, actually, she was a bit strange yesterday because everyone was singing and she just looking, why do you sing? And she was, what are you doing? She told me with her eyes. But I think she had a good day and I will... I think it comes with when she's 2 years, I think then it starts that there comes some wishes from her.
Okay, good to hear that. But of course, we're not alone in here because your daughter is not ready to come on a podcast yet. We have another wonderful guest, this time actually from Czech Republic, from Prague. We introduce to you Jan from Sports Cards Museum. Hello, sir.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me. And first of all, Marcus, congratulations. Excellent.
Thank you very much. How is it wonderful in Prague today? How is the weather or how is the business going?
Really mixed weather. It's like in Mondays. really, you know, 10 minutes really sunny and 10 minutes... really a lot of rain and so on, so we need this raincoats having on and so on, so yeah, I think it's related to Monday.
sounds like German Monday.
Yes.
So Sport Cards Museum, I stumbled onto your Instagram page and I thought, man, what an amazing idea, but also sounds like a lot of work and a big project. Can you introduce us a little to what's going on over there?
Of course. As the name says, you know, it's about telling or showing the history of sport cards. And we started like 1 year ago, just before the World Ice Hockey Championship. And we started with the ice hockey, basically. So like the longest history of cards we have with the ice hockey here. Yeah, we have the reprint of the original series from 1910 called C56, you know, but we have also, I have one card in the collection, original card. I can show it to you. It's this one.
Oh,
it's Arthros, you know, from 1910. So really over 100 old year card. And the quality is 5 of 10, you know, you can see the grading. I can go to the backside. So maybe nice. it could be ranked higher, but as you can see, the centering is not pretty good. But otherwise, the condition of the car is pretty nice. So I wanted to create really something what is mapping the history of the card collecting, yeah. And Czech Republic, you can guess, you know, our like national sport, it's ice hockey. You mm-hmm. know, we have the biggest successes in this sport. So mm-hmm. and also, you know, happily we won the World Championship last year. So there was a big hype, you know, and it was nice opportunity, and we were lucky, you know, that it came together. So people were, and still they are a lot interested in the ice hockey and even in the collecting. Yeah, so we are, you know, not only the museum, but we have also the fan shop part, where people can buy jerseys and so on. But the main idea, you know, it was because I'm also collecting, of course, from my childhood. And I was like, okay, we all have these cards in the boxes, you know, in the collector's albums and so on. And it's really pity from my point of view that it's no place to see like the sets or the beauty of the cards and so on. And for me, for example, it's about the stories, you know, behind the cards, behind the players, behind the special moments. Now it is not only in the ice hockey, but also in the other sports. So I was wondering if there is something like this around the world, and actually not in the Czech Republic, of course, and I didn't found any in the Europe. Yeah, and maybe in Toronto there is a history of sport card in a big museum, but nothing really dedicated to the card collecting or something like that. So I was like, okay, let's try. You know,
got nothing else to do.
We only live once, you know. So I found a nice place in downtown of Prague, you know, not far from Wenceslas Square, just 200 meters. So it's easily accessible, nice place. And I said, oh, okay, why not try it? So here we are.
Amazing.
Since 1 year you opened your museum?
Or? Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So you're also celebrating your birthday?
Yes, we are.
That's lovely. But I mean, you said you collected first. From collecting to making this big step to actually rent the space, put all the stuff in there. So are you like an entrepreneur yourself? So where's the drive coming from?
Yeah, like my background is marketing, you know, and I'm working as a consultant for various companies. And of course, I have some money left, you know, and I was like, okay, if there is nothing like that, let's try it. And I wanted to, you know, create something which is not like the consulting business, but, you know, something in the physical world. And I wanted to you know, create something what makes people happy. Yeah. And that works great. Yeah. So after even the 1 year, I have many, many beautiful stories, you know, from the people coming here. And I'm happy to share if you want.
Cool. Yeah.
Plus, how was it spread? So you opened 1 year ago, and now I don't know how with how much you started. So with few cards or with few jerseys until today. Maybe you can us bring the story from 1 year ago to today, and how the people also know about you from other countries.
Yeah. Well, the start was not easy, of course. Because one thing is to show the cards in the albums and so on, but my like idea was to present the sets, you know, on a certain panels or displays and so on, which you actually can see behind me on the left side, and there are many like that. Yeah. Making this like picture style, you know, it's one thing, and these panels, these are custom made especially for us by a company who's working also for Czech National Museum, and the brief was like, okay guys, I need to present the cards, and please find a way how to do that. Yeah, so they started doing the researches, starting doing the prototypes and so on. And finally, they found a way how we can put the cards on the wall, how we can protect them, you know, and so on. Yeah. So, and because my biggest like nostalgia was this set of FLIR Ultra gold medal on 1995-6. I was like, okay, it's golden. So we need to present it on a black panel, on black walls, you know, so the lights, you know, can work with that. And I'm happy we made it. Yeah. Something you cannot see here right now, but we have also the two side panels where the cards are like in the middle, and you can watch them from the both sides.
Oh, nice.
And this is really, really special.
Very nice. Cool.
How big is your museum? So is it... one room? Do you have different rooms, or how big is it?
Yeah. Actually, we started with two rooms. Right now, we have one room, you know, which is smaller size. It's like 70 meters square or something like that. Mm-hmm. We have here approximately 2,500 cards, you know, as I said, yeah, from the history till the recent, and we extended from the ice hockey also to other sports like soccer or football and basketball. And also we started showing, for example, the stickers from Panini and so on, because they are beautiful, very beautiful collections. That.
So and all the cards, is it your cards, or people also want to show their collections in your museum? How does it work?
Yeah, I started with my collection. Yeah, mm-hmm. Approximately 3,000 cards. Now mm-hmm. we are changing. Yeah, so there is a possibility for any collector to come, you know, and to present their sets and so on. So yeah, now, you know, it's changing, and we always like agree on what way we are going to display it and for how long, you know, and so on. So yeah, now very we are cool. working with other collectors, mostly from the Czech Republic. And we are presenting the museum also on the meetings, you know, for the collectors and so on. So yeah, it's growing, you know. But in Czech Republic, it's like people are first, they're skeptic, you know, and of course the collectors, they are very skeptic, you know, because they don't want to share the best cards or anything, you know. So it takes time, you know, to build the trust and so on. Mm-hmm. But it's going well, I would say.
Nice. Very nice.
Is there, when you, the stuff, what you said, you have now the gold behind you. Is there people that maybe not so deep in the hobby or new to the hobby? Is there a way how you explain a bit the story about that cards, or is it just take a look and take a research, or how is it working?
Yeah, like we offer also the guided tours, you know, so when somebody comes and the people ask, of course, so we explain, you know, about the history and so on. I can say that like 50% are the collectors or people who are familiar with it. Yeah. So they like know what to expect and so on. They are checking the description of the cards and from what year it is and so on. So the first thing is that you can easily distinguish like the year from which it is. You can see the name mm-hmm. on the panel, you know, and so mm-hmm. on. And then we have also the online guide, you know, where you can find more information about that. And the something on top, we have a quiz for every visitor. So the people come, get the quiz, and they go around, you know, and are searching for the right answers on the quiz. And after that, as a reward, they get some cards.
That's nice. I love this idea. It's really nice. And I mean, honestly, like most of our audience comes from Germany. It's easy to visit Prague, guys. Let me just remind you of that. It's easy. Yes, hop on a train and just go there. It's easy.
Yeah.
Have you been, Markus?
Yeah, of course. I've been there 3 or 4 times, and I love the city. I'm so much in love. Yeah. It's not so far. One time I was with a car, but as you said, with the train, it's very easy as well to drive.
And I can tell you that I have one guy who is regularly coming from Germany. Mm-hmm. He's a big mm-hmm. collector, and he actually came here for the opening of the museum, and he visited also this year, you know, like 1 month ago. He brought some, you know, present for us regarding related to the ice hockey collecting and so on. And it's awesome to see that people are coming back, you know, and we always, you know, chat about the collecting and everything. So this is very nice.
It's about the biggest part is ice hockey in the museum, but it's also basketball and other sports, which is already today is also there in the museum.
Yes, actually. But we know that the history of football cards, you know, is not so deep, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have here, for example, and I can show it to you also because I prepared it here. If you can guess what it is.
Soccer, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, of course, soccer, but which can't really see it.
One of the first soccer cards. I think it's a German set, right? Isn't it?
No, it's Italian one. It's Panini.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's 1969. And it's a part of the first set of stickers created by Panini.
Crazy.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And a different format then. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it was the first time they released the stickers, which means you could put it in the album, you know, and mm-hmm. and collect the whole album. By the way, interesting about the season is that the winner of the Series A was Cagliari.
Mm-hmm.
And second was Inter Milan, third was AC Milan, and the others, you know. And for Cagliari, it was the first and only year they won, you know, the championship in Season A.
Crazy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is this reprints or is it all original?
Oh, this is original.
This are original.
This okay, is original. Crazy.
Very impressive stuff.
How much time does it take to find out about this stuff? So do you need... how was your day? So do you go on the internet looking for this cars that found it and said, I want to have this in my museum? Or how does it work that these cards, like these soccer cards, comes to you and to your museum?
Exactly. Actually, before I opened the museum, I had to figure out, you know, what the cards should be presented. And it has to have certain story behind, you know, it has to be interesting, right? So I was like, okay, what cards should be in the museum? So as I said, I started with the ice hockey. Yeah? So I came to the C56. I was like, okay, if it should be museum, you know, and not just like virtual museum or something, but real museum with a certain value, there has to be C56. And then I was like, okay, so what card I should own, you know, from the C56? And I was, you know, checking the checklist. And then I was like, okay, Arthros, you know, because if you meet anybody from the hockey industry or a hockey fan, you know, the Arthros, it's a name, you know, it's the award for the best scorer. And I was like, okay, it's really expensive, but I want to have it. Yes. But then I started searching for a seller, you know, credited seller, you know, from who I would buy this card. And honestly, like for 2 years, I was sending my cards to my aunt in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I was, before the opening, I was like, okay, then I need to, you know, bring the cards to the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. And I asked her to bring the cards. And just 3 days before the flight, she said, hey, I checked the prices and I'm not going to touch the cards and I'm not going to bring it. So I was like, oh my gosh, what I should do? So I buy the ticket, you know, just, and it was just before the opening, like 1 week or something. Yeah. So all the works in the museum were ongoing, like the builders were here and so on. I was like, okay, but I don't have time. So I need to go there and back. So in like 48 hours, I had a flight from Prague to Calgary and back. Okay.
Oh gosh.
Crazy story.
So I brought the cards and then we put it on the panels in the vitrinas and so on. And that's how it started.
Very nice, man. So you, 1 week before the opening, to even be away from the place for 48 hours sounds stressful. But then to go on a plane, fly to a different time zone, come back. Oh, gosh. Are you still talking to your aunt or was that it?
Oh, it was perfect. But on the other hand, I understood, you know, because it was really worthy.
How did she find out the price? Did she check eBay? Did she check eBay then to see? How did she find out?
Yes. I was checking the eBay and comparing the sellers, you know. And it's always like if you are sending somebody, you know, like few thousands of dollars or euro, it's, you know, it's strange, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's a pressure. Yeah. And then, you know, you are checking the tracking code, you know, of the package. And then your aunt is calling you and showing the cars and you're like, oh my gosh, okay.
So of course we have all the we have the address, we have the links to the website and everything in the show notes. So let me just, and I also see your opening hours Wednesday to Sunday, right? That is correct.
That's correct.
Every day between 12 and 6 p.m. That's really, really, really wonderful. So, but now we heard a lot about that place. What do we need to know about you? So how did you get into collecting?
It was the grammar school, actually. Mm-hmm. So, or even earlier, maybe. I was like 14, 15, something like that. And we started buying the cars from a local sports shop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And first, of course, we didn't know that we should, you know, take care about the cards, so we put there in our pockets and so on. And actually, I started collecting this gold medallion series, and I came to the situation where I had about like 180 cards, and the like base set of this gold medallion, it has 200 cards, okay? And then, for some stupid reason, I exchanged these 180 cards for another one card, some stupid card, you know.
Okay.
I was like, oh my gosh. Before I opened the museum, I said like, okay, I need to start collecting this again. And it took me over 1 year to put together all the cards, all the 200 cards. Fortunately, in Czech Republic, there are collectors who are focused just on the gold medallion edition. So they really started helping me to get the cards, you know, to put it all together and so on. So today I have the complete set.
Very nice. Very nice. So how is the scene in Czech Republic, the trading card scene? So is it big, or how can we imagine it?
I would say yes. Regarding the fact that we have like 10 million people, you know, in the country. Some people say we have like 15,000 to 20,000 active collectors. Okay, we have like 3 to 4 card shows per year, only for sport cards, not counting Pokemons and these things. So I would say yes, it's pretty much developed. And also interesting thing is that considering we are a small country, we have like, we had previously like 3 companies producing the cards. Okay. Recently, 2 companies. Okay. One Czech company has the license for the national team. Okay. And then there is Sportsu company. Those are Slovak guys, and they're doing pretty good. And they are releasing the series for ice hockey, local league, national, you know, even the soccer and other things and so on.
Okay.
Very nice.
But you only collect hockey yourself or also other sports?
I started with the ice hockey, but when I opened the museum, you know, it really changes your perspective. Yeah.
Okay.
So now I'm collecting like things which makes certain stories, you know, which I can then present here. Okay. So for example, right now I'm really looking forward to display the Panini set for Ferrari. Okay. It's a set of stickers, 180 plus 12 additional. And it's a special album, you know, about the history of Ferrari. Yeah. And, like, the main collector cards are 2, and there is Rubens Barrichello and, of course, Michael Schumacher, you know, holding the cups, you know, with after the celebration and so on. And the cards, the stickers are beautiful because there are shots from the factories, you know, from the races, you know, some other things from the management, from the history, like the old cars and so on. So it's really beautiful.
Nice. Very nice.
So your museum is also your personal collection at now today. So because you collect all the stuff which you show all by yourself.
Yes.
That's very nice.
I have to say, I don't know if you know him, but I think not. Worms medal comes to my mind. He's very deep in history about cards, especially about basketball in Germany. And I think we have to connect you each other. Maybe have some interesting stuff. What he want to present, or maybe can tell you about special cards, because he showed me the first basketball card ever, which he had, and I think it's a good match. So we will connect you later.
Yeah, he's also somebody who is so much into history. And also when we have card shows here in Germany, for example, Marcus, at your show too that you had, he does like workshops, like telling about the history of the cards at those card shows. So they have like a separate room where people can register and come in, and he tells them about the stories and has like a presentation and everything. So yeah, I also find this, the story behind the card and or behind the set is what I think, that's also what will open up this whole hobby to more people, because that's the only way how you can explain that people really collect something, if you understand the story behind it. I think
absolutely.
Yeah, that's also special because I also don't know any museum in the world. So it's the first time when Dennis sent me
Of course,
this.
you know no museum, Marcus. It was obvious that you have no clue about museums.
especially about Sportscar, I mean. But yeah, and I think it's a very great way to bring in the hobby to people that don't know about cards before. And that's also, you said you're in the shopping center and you said 50% are in the hobby, but the other 50% are not in the hobby. How they do they, what they talk about you? Do they know that it's quite expensive, this cards, or could they imagine? How is there the talks with the people that don't be in the hobby?
They are interested, of course, in the like history. When you have like the oldest cards or something like that, it's pretty special to them. Then you are saying about like the price of the cards, of course, you know. Yeah. But for the big collectors, like the cards I have here, they are not like super super expensive. Of course, we know the prices of the best cards in the world and so on. But for like normal people, if you say this card costs about $1,000 or euro, they say like, wow, you know, it's something, you know.
Yeah.
So you are explaining the history, and for example, the history of the cards actually is pretty interesting, and I really love sharing the story of the oldest cards, because for example the size and shape of the C56 is like that because they put it in the cigarette packages. And the cards were not as a standalone product before the 1950. So I have here other cards which are from chewing gums, you know, they're on the matches, so you can see it here, you know,
very
on
nice.
The bottom. And so on. So this is something interesting to do to the people. And many people who are connected to the sports, they are coming and they are interested in seeing this. And then it's, of course, nostalgia. Yeah. So a certain part, certain group, very important, I would say, also guys like you and me, you know, who were collecting in the young ages, not young, but, you know, when they were young. And it brings them back. It takes them back, you know, to childhood and so on. Yeah. And I can say, for example, I had here a guy from Canada. He was about 70 year old, he told me. And I met him in front of the OPG 1971, which is considered among the collectors to be one of the most beautiful cards that ever created. And I could see he's almost crying, you know, he almost started crying. And I was like, hey, are you okay? And he was like, guys, you took me like 40 years back. You know, times when I was collecting this series. And then he started talking about every of these players, you know, about how they lived, how they played, what they did, you know, how they died, you know, and so on. And he knew perfectly every of these players, you know, on the panel. And he was, you know, it was pretty interesting to see that and listen to that.
Must be also a special moment for you, because this is the best feedback you could get with your what you create there, actually.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Also, I have a story. One day during the World Championship last year, you know, a guy came here and he was like, okay, I want to visit the museum. And we asked him to pay, you know, the entry. I was like, I really have to pay the entry? And we're like, yeah, please, you know, it's not that expensive. Oh, okay. Then he walked in, you know, and we started talking, and I was like, oh yeah, it's interesting. And then we came in front of the set from Wien, 1996, okay? It was a world championship in ice hockey where we won, and we were chatting, and he came to that, and he saw the Swedish, you know, national team, yeah, a few of the cards. And he was like, ah, I know these guys. These are my friends. And he was like, pardon me, but who you are? And he said, ah, leave work. And I was like, ah, sorry, but what did you do? And I was like, oh, I'm former, you know, Swedish national coach.
Okay.
That was crazy. He was the coach of these players.
Yes.
Yes.
So he was training Mats Sundin, Peter Forsberg, you know, and other guys, you know, on the cards. And right now, I still, you know, the feelings, you know, it was awesome. It was awesome. And he came twice on Friday when they had a free day, and then again on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he started buying the cards of the young players whose fathers he was coaching, you know.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool.
So he spent here like 3 hours, you know.
That's so nice. That's so nice.
That's the best feedback.
You said a little earlier that there are more of those like stories. Can you share one or two more of your personal highlight stories that happened for you in the museum?
Well, these are the biggest I just shared.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know,
Or the day-to-day, like what do you like about running that museum? Is it the,
you know,
the...
For example, beautiful visit was when a group of young guys, you know, who were on a training camp not far from Prague, you know, international camp for ice hockey, and kids like 5 to 12 years or something like that. And they spent here like 2 hours, you know, and they were watching, you know, the cards. And we also have like, we have a special app, you know, for making the virtual Stanley Cup, you know, and you can place it in the space like virtually, and they can make a photo.
Okay, cool.
They all took the photo with the virtual Stanley Cup, you know, and it was like, okay, one day I want to win it, you know. Okay, another story, like a month ago, some guy, and I'm quite sure he was from Germany, two young guys came here and they were watching the cards, and I have here also like the replicas of Stanley Cup rings, okay? And I put it out, they tried it on the fingers, but only the one guy. And the second one, I was asking like, you don't want to try? No, I have my own. I was like, what? You have your own Stanley Cup ring? I was like, no, not Stanley Cup, but we won the championship, so I have another ring, you know, at home. And he was like, I don't want to touch it because that's my goal, you know.
Okay. Nice.
So really, really interesting to meet such people here.
How do companies like Upper Deck, Topps, Panini know that this museum exists? Because for them, it should be best. If I would be Topps or Panini, or Upper Deck, I would call you and say, I have stuff for you, show that. Is that the case or today?
I would say I'm working on it, you know, and there is, for example, a certain distributor for Upper Deck, you know, for the Czech Republic and also for the Europe with a very strong position. I'm also in contact with the guys who are working with Topps. Yeah, and there were some representatives from Topps last year on one of the expos, and I was presenting on the expo some of the panels, and they were like, oh, this is really nice, but you are presenting the ice hockey, but we are more into soccer. Yeah. So this year, you know, when there's a transition or, you know, extension to the other sports, I believe that it will be easier to get in touch with them. Yeah. But as always, you know, they have many activities, and it's about finding the way how to cooperate, how to present, and so on. But definitely, that's the goal, to get in touch with those guys. And I've heard that already some guys in the United States, they know about this place. But as always, you know, it's very small, so it's not that attractive. But you cannot build a two-floor house, you know, regarding the cars, because the cost will be, well, tremendous, you know.
But I mean, like you said, it has to grow, and it has to organically grow, I think, and sooner or later people and companies will come to it. I mean,
I'm sure, you know. Yeah. And as you found me, you know, on the Instagram, that's a good way, you know. And we want to extend the awareness about this podcast museum, so they know us. And then it takes time, you know.
Wonderful.
You sold products as well. Can I buy some stuff at your place, or and what? What can I buy?
Yes, we mainly sell the ice hockey packs and packages, and also the soccer and the other sport not so much right now. But yeah, we are selling that too, and also the individual cards. Yeah, which is important. Okay. And this is also very nice. See the kids, you know, when they come. And, you know, they start, you know, working the albums and so on, because we have like few thousands of cards in the album, so they can watch it, they can buy the single cards and so on.
Okay, nice.
That's so nice. I really have to say, I appreciate the time and energy and money you put in this, because you really created a unique place over there, and I can only imagine how much work that is. So really, respect. If I would have a hat, Marcus, can you take your hat off for a moment? Yes, wonderful. So
thank
really
you.
Respect thank for you. That.
Thank you, guys.
That's really amazing.
Yeah,
and I think
you,
our
yeah,
listeners really should visit the place. Like it's
I'll be very happy to welcome you. And we are preparing a lot of additional things. You know, we want to create like the possibility of a virtual visit and also some, you know, additional stuff for supporting the museum, you know, so even the people who are, you know, abroad and so on, they cannot come here, they can, you know, open virtually the museum, see what cards are in there, check the history. We have also the online quizzes. So there will be much more coming this year, because we want to open also the online, you know, to the online audience. And that will be big change, you know, so we want to grow really globally. We cannot do it physically, you know, from Prague, but we can do it in the online world. And as I said, we want to connect. We have the quiz here, but we want to connect it also through the play and games, you know, online, so that people can learn something about the hobby, about the players, you know, and have fun with that.
Nice. How big is your team? Because you said we. Is there? You have a? How big is your team? And how much people do you do it?
Right now, we have like 3 core persons, like including me. Yeah. And then like 2 to 3, you know, external, like, people who are supporting us. And I also want to increase the team, you know, for some, collectors or fans, you know, of the collecting, and open more to broader audience, let's say, or people who want to participate on this idea of sport cards museum or anything. Yeah. So like really the first year it was for me testing the idea, if it's something really worth it. Yeah. And as I always said, like, if it would be like that everybody comes and say, hey, that's bullshit, you know, we are not interested, it will be easy to close it, you know, but we can see that people are interested, you know, people are coming, we have good reviews and so on. So definitely it's worth it. And now we want to, you know, continue and extend the activities, you know, and so on. And it's exactly about sharing the stories, you know, bringing more people to the hobby, but not only for opening the packs, you know, but it's about, from my side, you know, about knowing about the players, the moments, and so on.
Yeah, nice.
Really nice.
Guys, listeners, drive to Prague, say that you come from the Das Hobby podcast, say hello to Jan, and I will do, actually. We will, the next visit in Prague will be then also to your museum. Thank you very much, Jan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jan, have a wonderful day and continued success with the museum.
Okay. Again, thank you for having me. Have a great day and hope to see you here in Prague.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Every Friday night when the sun goes down low, Marcus and Dennis got a show to bestow on trading cards and things from the past. Collectibles that are built to last. From baseball rookies to rare comic books, memorabilia that grabs your heart's hooks. Tune in anywhere, it's easy to find a podcast for the collector's mind. Das Hobby, where treasures unfold. Every Friday, stories are told. Marcus and Dennis, guiding the way on this golden show, week by week, come what may. From cards and coins to signed guitars, history in your hand, it's never far. listen in and join the ride. Das Hobby, where passions collide. They talk the legends and they share the dreams of finding rare gems that make you beam. From platforms galore, they reach your ear. A collector's haven, it's crystal clear. Das Hobby, where treasures unfold. Every Friday, stories are told. Marcus and Dennis, guiding the way on this golden show, week by week, come what may. Das Hobby, where treasures unfold. Every Friday, stories are told. Marcus and Dennis, guiding the way on this golden show, week by week, come what may.